Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 122.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Grin, the number one influencer marketing software solution that's built for direct-to-consumer brands on Shopify. They're an all-in-one relationship management platform that helps you cultivate an authentic influencer network and a more valuable brand. From discovery and outreach to campaign management, Grin streamlines your workflow, removing the busy work while giving you the tools to help you grow and scale your program. From influencer recruitment, communication, product seeding, discount codes and affiliate links, including content and rights management, sales and tracking, and influencer payments, Grin helps you do it all. Smart brands truly understand that creating an emotional connection with your consumer drives up lifetime value, because what you end up doing is building a stronger brand. You create diehard fans who come back and purchase from you again and again. Get started today with Grin and make the most of your influencer marketing program with the all-in-one platform that's designed to help you build more authentic, brand-boosting relationships. So go check them out at grin.co. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com to be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Ya Anning, who is the co-founder and CEO from a company called Malomo. That's M-A-L-O-M-O. And they're a post-purchase marketing app that helps brands on Shopify turn order tracking from kind of a stale experience, which is typically handled by the carriers, into a branded marketing channel. And I know over the past few years, Malomo has helped Shopify brands to track millions of packages and drive millions, I'm going to make sure I emphasize that, in repeat revenue from their transactional shipping notifications to their customers. So really exciting and very timely. So let's jump in, learn more about Malomo and why a post-purchase experience is so vital to a brand trust and to loyalty for companies that are making their home on Shopify. So hi, Ya. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. I'm very excited to be here.
Cool. Now, I did mention a tiny bit at the top of the show about what Malomo does and I guess almost its unique selling proposition to the market, but I'd love to hear it in your own words, more on a high level. What does Malomo do and what problem, I guess in this case problems, are you attempting to solve for Shopify store owners and brands?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like you said, we are a shipment tracking platform for e-commerce merchants. And when we started off, like the biggest problem that we heard from merchants when we were trying to think through the concept around, you know, what's some of the biggest pain points you have after somebody buys a product from you? The number one thing that we heard was that our customers continue to ask us, where is our order? Like, it's the number one support ticket we get. And it's interesting because it seems like that would be like the easiest question for a merchant to answer. But yet it obviously is not. It's just a pain point for most brands. And I think the big reason is that merchants don't have control over that part of the customer experience. We've seen on average that consumers will look at tracking about 4 to 5 times with each order. So you think about that, you know, they're obviously like they're feeling two emotions. They're anxious, they're nervous about where their order is. They hope it's going to arrive, but they're also super excited. They really want to know where that package is. So that drives a ton of engagement. What we often tell our merchants is, you know, if you're shipping, let's say 10,000 orders, or even 1,000 orders, that's, you know, 40 to 50,000 brand impressions that you're delivering to your customers. And you're either delivering you're amplifying a really great experience or you're amplifying a terrible experience. our thesis has been, let's give retailers back control over that customer experience, that part of the journey, and then use that engagement that they're seeing to drive other outcomes for the brand, and as far as like remarketing to those customers who just bought from you.
So let's talk about your journey. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build, like this whole journey around building a B2B, a SaaS company to help other companies is so interesting to me. So are you able to talk about, you know, I guess what uniquely positions you and your co-founder, I guess, on a couple different points. Number one, to have the desire. And number two, I guess, to have the expertise to want to create this platform.
So my co-founder and I, we ran a dev build agency, and we worked a ton with Shopify merchants, consumer focused brands, and other like B2B SaaS companies. And we just spent a ton of time in this space, really helping merchants figure out like, how do you build these next gen consumer experiences? We also spent a lot of time in the logistics space. So one of the products that we built was an Uber clone for a company that did kind of public transport. You could see a public bus on a mobile app when it's going to arrive at a particular stop. We cut our teeth and like just spent a lot of time in like the challenges with moving physical goods in the real world and how you track those things. We just really love the space. Whenever we worked with more consumer-focused companies who were kind of just doing something in the e-commerce space, we did like a wholesale review of the platforms and technologies that they could use. And we'd always end up, as shameless plug for Shopify, we'd always end up recommending Shopify just because of the amazing developer tools that you all had and the ease with which we could kind of create the best end consumer experience. I feel like that's what you guys put a ton of focus and effort around, which that helps merchants just be able to connect with consumers in much deeper ways. And so we just love that platform. And it felt like it gave us the ability to really create unique experiences for our customers. That's really, you know, in the early days, how we felt like we were well positioned to build a platform around this space. A little bit like real quick story about kind of my why. I lost both of my parents before I turned 30, kind of the most difficult, you know, 5 years of my life. My mom battled cancer. It was a kind of a rare form of cancer, attacked her central nervous system, and she had to stop working, moved home. But she had a kind of an entrepreneurial spirit, and she wanted to keep her mind busy. So she got really into soap making. We had all sorts of soap material in our kitchen for her, just like making these batches. And so whenever, you know, she's going through treatment, people would come to our house and visit with her, and she'd hand out these bars of soap to them. And then they'd launch into these awesome stories. And you could just tell like that relationship like lifted her spirit in those moments that felt very dark. And the name of her soap company was Malomo. So when she passed, you know, I wanted to kind of honor her name and her legacy. And you see that with a lot of merchants where they, you know, they're inspired by this personal story, and the product that they're selling is almost a souvenir of their mission, right? It's like, we've got this overarching goal that we're trying to drive, and our customers are our community and our supporters and helping us get there. And our product is a means to do that. And so we wanted to kind of use that same spirit as, you know, post-purchase is a way for you to connect with your customers by telling your story. And that's what Malomo helps you do.
Well, your mom sounds like a amazing woman, very resilient, and I have a massive respect for that sort of mindset and just having those entrepreneurial roots. And then I just love the fact that you used, you know, the name of the soap company Malomo, and now have, you know, just transferred that over into kind of the next generation. So she's definitely looking down and smiling right now as you continue on with that journey. So let's talk about direct-to-consumer brands, because I think that is the hottest topic right now. It's kind of the differentiator. I mean, there's lots of big box out there and traditional retailers, but I think what's really making the big play right now is, I guess, cutting out the middleman, so to speak, and creating a direct-to-consumer opportunity. And, you know, and a lot of brands, I mean, they really understand, at least most do, about a retention strategy and like in how you can, I guess, almost maximize the profitability of each customer. And so maybe you can dig into a little bit about, you know, how Malomo is really helping with that whole customer journey and that the whole customer retention strategy.
So if you'll indulge me for a little bit, I'll kind of go on a little bit of a sidetrack here, and then I'll bring it back. So Shopify, you guys just put out a, you know, the state of commerce report, which was just packed with a ton of really unique insights about the market. One of the things that I found fascinating was just like the rise of the customer acquisition costs today. It's just, the amount of money that's spent on platforms like Facebook to drive acquisition is starting to become unsustainable. And so we kind of believe that retailers need to very quickly go on the offensive with regards to retention. I think for the most part, merchants think of retention as an afterthought, and they kind of take the stance that they can tack on loyalty after the fact. That focus on acquisition is really that they can, they can focus on acquisition, and then the thought is they can introduce things like loyalty and rewards programs or referral programs, and that's going to be the silver bullet that fixes retention. That doesn't really make sense. If you think about this, I use this analogy a lot. You go to a restaurant, the food is great, but the service is horrendous. It takes forever to get your meal. You have no idea what's going on in the kitchen. Your waiter is rude. They're not refilling your drink. The bathrooms are super dirty. Like the whole experience is just really poor. And then at the end of the meal, that waiter comes back and hands you a punch card for a discount on your fifth meal. Like, no, the likelihood I'm going back to that restaurant for another meal plummets dramatically. And so like, you can't really tack on retention. It has to be baked into the entire DNA of the company from day one. So you've got to figure out how to make every single interaction with your customer, no matter how big or small it is, like a mind-blowing interaction, so that when you do go to remarket to them, you're running your email campaigns, your SMS campaigns, your loyalty and rewards campaigns, that those tactics and channels that you're using to communicate with your customers, they're actually receptive to hearing that communication. It's no longer that you have to like figure out an experience that doesn't suck anymore. Like mediocre experiences are now deadly in commerce. You need to figure out how to like make every interaction mind-blowing, because you're fighting, every brand on the internet for the same consumer wallet. And so with Malomo, what we look at post-purchase is it's twofold. It's how do we protect the current purchase from things that are inevitably going to go wrong with delivery, especially today in COVID. We're seeing all sorts of delays, packages being lost, fulfillment issues, right? All of those set the tone with the consumer that you don't really have control over your business. And if you're not communicating with them at all, it leaves a very bad taste in their mouth. So no amount of marketing is going to get them to come back. So what we focus on with post-purchase is how do you use it as a tool to communicate with your consumers at every single step of the customer journey, create that connection with them, right? Let them know that you're there, that you know what's happening when things are going wrong, and that you're actively working to make those things right. And once you've set that bar, you then are given permission, right, by the consumer to start to remarket to them in that moment to drive another transaction while they're waiting for their current transaction. So that's what Malomo does. It's a shipment marketing platform, right, that helps you manage the customer experience after you buy by proactively helping you notify customers of their delivery. And then we use that engagement while consumers are looking at that delivery information to drive and spur additional interaction with the brand. It could be driving repeat purchases. It could be just telling the mission or story. It could be driving them to your online communities. But it's really that touch point that opens up the opportunity for remarketing to become that growth engine for you.
So the points that I've jotted down here, just as a recap, so you really are to kind of protect, I guess, the existing purchase, deliveries and delays and just overall having permission to communicate and building community around this initial purchase or second purchase or more. And then the second component is the repeat purchase opportunity, because of the fact that, people are checking for their tracking number 3 or 4 times during a transaction to just because they're excited for the product.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because it sounds like the native solution in Shopify typically is it's kind of a waiting game, so to speak, where you place an order. And even my wife has kind of made this comment recently, make a purchase from a brand. And then, there is just no communication other than, the original auto-generated, thank you for your order, maybe an invoice of some sort. And then, maybe some information in there about when they should expect the tracking numbers more information to come. But there's been no follow-up. And we're talking we're talking very large brands here, large 8-figure, 9-figure companies. I'm just really shocked that they don't have that sort of kind of post-purchase experience and really multi-touch point and then understanding and giving authorization, like the consumer giving authorization. Yes, please text me any updates to my order as I go, or give me a link to the Malomo or some other custom landing page for for more order confirmation, order details, where am I at? And oh, there's an offer for me too, because I'm an existing customer. That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like we actually ask a lot of our merchants to, hey, you should go through your own experience, like buy your own product and like just see what you deliver to yourself, right? Like, and a lot of brands are just shocked. They're like, I didn't realize this is what we were kind of showing our customers, and the communication is just, it's not there. I think it just is reframing the mindset of merchants today that acquisition is only part of the game. There's this whole other part that you haven't been playing and you're losing when you could really be winning with your base.
So let's talk about the connection now. So there is a branded page, thanks to Malomo, connected to Shopify. So you have this, you know, so that's where we can direct people after they make a purchase. But let's talk about maybe some of the back office kind of connections. I think that's a kind of an integral part in kind of what's going on in the background to make all this magic happen on the front end to the consumer. So I understand that you connect to a lot of the carriers, but like, how do you make, I guess, I want to say make tracking more enjoyable, but kind of like, how do you make it more enjoyable for consumers based on the differences that maybe you might already get from the US Postal Service or from UPS?
The first way is, how do we personalize the experience? And then the second is like, how do you use these moments to like, craft these, we call these like moments of joy. And so the first way is we've got a deep connection into Shopify. So whenever a new order comes into your Shopify store, we collect about 150 different pieces of data around that order. So it's things like customer information, fulfillment data, order information, you know, like line items, and then the tracking number. And then we connect into, like you said, direct connections into carriers like United States Postal Service, UPS, where we get a real-time stream of scan events on that package moving in transit. And so we combine that data, that order data, the customer data, the fulfillment data, and that tracking information, and we send it to the brand's email marketing platform. So they can do a ton of segmentation personalization on these transactional notifications that they send. You could say, hey, I know my customer just bought this product. I'm going to segment them, and I'm going to send them educational material on that product. I know my customer has purchased with us 3 times and they're not in our loyalty and rewards program, I'm going to promote our rewards program in this transactional email. So it's using that data to really drive these outcomes inside these transactional emails. The beauty of those emails is the open rates are astronomical. You know, they're typically in the 50 to 80% range, where a normal marketing email is in the, you know, the 10 to 20% range. So that engagement is a key part of this equation of driving that interaction. It's almost like priming the customer for, here's the next step in your journey with us, because we have all this data around who you are. We normalize the tracking information. Like, carriers are notorious for just, you know, not having human friendly words where they tell where your deliveries are. And then they kind of just leave the data at that, right? It's just like, here's a scan event, here's a scan event, here's a scan event. We're trying to get more intelligent, where we're looking at, hey, we know packages that traditionally are shipped with DHL are taking X days longer. So in the email, we might show different messaging to those customers. Our packages go through different experiences when they're international versus domestic, or even getting down to the granular level of, we see that sometimes shipments stall. And if a package hasn't moved in a certain amount of time, like, we should know about that. If our customers reach out, we've already lost. And so trying to use that data in a way that is just a lot more proactive to alert that customer. That last piece is like, how do we create these moments of joy? It's just making those touch points, so especially on the tracking page, just very interactive. So we've got video, like a lot of our brands will show like hype reels of products, like Spirit Hoods has got an amazing just brand video. So when you hit their page, it just like makes you feel like so excited about the product, because you can start to envision what your life's going to look like with this new product in it. A lot of brands will use, they'll actually show their live social feed, which, you know, a lot of times for these brands, like their Instagram feed is like just a goldmine of interactivity. It's just like a really nice way to like showcase who you are as a brand and get people to just interact with you. And it's perfect because people, again, they're waiting for their order. So it's like, what else are they going to do? We could send them off to another place, or we could keep them cocooned in our brand experience and just kind of give them a little bit of a unique blend of who we are. We've even had some people who, like, we're talking with some merchants now. I'll give two examples really quickly. One is like, hey, we've just got this game on our website and people can play it. Like, we don't look at it as an opportunity to drive any conversion elements. It's just like a fun thing that represents our brand. And they'd love to just let people play with that game post purchase. And then another brand, it's kind of a media company where they've got products and then they've got these digital avatars that represent the brand. And these digital avatars are like, they're creating these music videos. And so they kind of want to have these live concert experiences on the post purchase page. And so it's just like, how do we just, with moments like that, blow people's minds? Like, I'm not expecting my tracking experience to like entertain me, but we now have that opportunity.
I love it. So 3 points, normalizes your tracking data. I think that's great because I think there's a lot of very ambiguous kind of updates. And especially right now in Q4, BFCM is done. There's a lot of things. And just on a side note, I'm even thinking, what an opportunity for people that are getting gift cards over the holiday season and then are going to want to purchase something. There's such a great opportunity even after the holiday season of how your platform can still offer great value to the new customers that just happen to, however they find your brand, if you're listening today, however they find you, they get access to a gift card, you know, a Visa gift card. They're going to buy on the website and they get to enjoy this whole, as you call it, moments of joy, this whole process. Yeah, I just love it. I think this is fantastic. So thank you for sharing that. And I think it's great. I think it almost appears to me that your platform really gives brands the opportunity that it's not follow these set rules of what we believe a post-purchase experience is. We have some elements that we believe are part of the moments of joy, but it sounds like you're giving brands the opportunity to be creative and game, live social feeds. There are lots of ways that a retention manager might see a lot of value in wanting to get this platform enacted onto their website, knowing that they have access to widgets in certain areas from within the Malomo platform that the customer facing gets to see.
Yes. Yeah. I think like we took a lot of this ethos directly from you all at Shopify. It's just like we want to enable the rebels to create these next gen experiences, right? Like, we don't want to dictate what you should do. And that's what I feel like a lot of tools on the market do today. It's like, hey, here's this template. You fill in your content into our template. We're trying to say your brand is unique. There's different things that you're trying to communicate to your customers at every step in their journey with you. This is a blank canvas. And you probably haven't had any tool that gives you this level of engagement at a moment in time where it's this important. So what is the strategy that we should work through together to kind of create the outcome that's best for your brand?
So let's talk about, I guess, the unfortunate situation that's happening right now in most part of the world. There's a second wave or almost a resurgence happening right now with COVID-19. And I know over the holiday season, this is going to be a different Christmas, I think, for a lot of people, having to shelter in home only, to people living in your own home. And, you know, this global pandemic really has been quite challenging for a lot of people, and entrepreneurs included. It's also an opportunity for those, you know, kind of resilient entrepreneurs that are not willing to stick their head in the sand. They're willing to, okay, no, we're going to make a pivot. We understand what's happening out here. It's not great, but what can we be or do to be the answer to a lot of the problems, or a solution oriented, kind of a growth mindset instead of this fixed kind of mindset, kind of opportunity. So what are you seeing on your end due to COVID right now? Like, how are brands having to change maybe their post-purchase experience based on this current situation we're in?
We all know this, but carriers are seeing just a once-in-a-lifetime load on their networks. This is an event that they probably haven't prepared for. And they, you know, as we ramped up to even before COVID, the level of e-commerce just driving carriers to meet more aggressive expectations was already high. So we try to track this on a week by week basis. One of the things that I think is unique is these are moment in time problems. And so each week you could see different outcomes. We've traditionally seen about 15 to 65% carrier degradation on their networks. And so that ultimately translates to between 3 to 5 day delays on average. Some areas experiencing much higher than that, some not. And then we're also seeing that carriers are, because they're seeing so many delays, they're not able to predict estimated delivery. And that estimated delivery, it does a lot to reduce customer support. Like, just giving, even if you're wrong, right, giving people a date with which they should expect an order puts people's mind at ease when you're not able to offer that up. it's a very unsettling feeling. And then, like you said, as we head into the holidays, everybody's trying to get their orders before Christmas. Well, brands are doing, I mean, they're putting their full force behind attacking this problem. They're putting prompts within the notifications. They're putting prompts on the buying experience. They're putting prompts on the post-purchase experience where they're communicating the real-time delays. A lot of our merchants are segmenting. So if they're using more carriers than they normally would to try to diversify. And then they're looking at the performance of those carriers and in real-time changing deliveries. Sometimes even buying higher delivery speeds for shipping labels just to make sure that they're meeting their deadlines and their timelines. I mean, they're trying to arm their entire internal teams with some like tools and automation and ways in which they have they can communicate with consumers about what's happening. Live chat is super important. We've got a lot of merchants that drop that on their tracking experiences so that they can try to troubleshoot problems in real time. It is chaos right now.
I'd add to that too, because I got a UPS delivery last week and definitely was delayed. There was no communication leading up to it. Just like, oh, wow, it's finally here. Great. So I wasn't really happy about that overall experience. I'm glad the product finally arrived and I can appreciate what's going on right now. But the driver made a comment. I'm in Canada, West Coast. And they said in my market, in the Vancouver market, at this one location, they're saying that we have 11 40-foot trailers full, 11 of them that are full right now that we haven't even uncrated and scanned. It is insane right now. Like, this is what's happening. This is why. And yes, they've added a lot of extra shifts. Yes, everybody's hiring a lot of warehouse workers to really help scan and get things going. But this is really, really are in unprecedented times. I'd add another thing that I thought was interesting too. You made a comment about people making decisions because of how busy the major carriers are, the FedExes and UPSs of the world. And a lot of people are considering last mile delivery options through local carriers. And I know Shopify is definitely connected to many. There's some third-party solutions that have the proper data pipeline to these third-party carriers, but there's some notable carriers that connect to some larger networks of people like the Ubers of the world and have a large pool of drivers that are just not doing the taxi business right now. So they're like, well, okay, I'm going to flip my phone on and become a driver for XYZ local delivery company. So that opportunity is there. I mean, you're probably not going to flip the switch right now, but it's interesting that it sounds like there's great opportunity for Malomo long-term as it relates to the major carriers, because that's kind of my original question. Like, how are you fitting into all of this with the carriers and just understanding and educating the customer about where your package is and offering a great kind of joyful post-purchase experience. I get all that. The other option is that if because of the carrier's fault and they're, you know, as you're saying, is 15 to 65% of degradation of their service levels, people are seeing that because they're buying lots online. The last mile delivery option could be an interesting opportunity. And I'm sure that these data points could still be transferred over to the Malomo landing page.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is something that we've been talking about this year a lot. And I think you all did a ton of really amazing work when COVID set in, even like buy online, pick up in store, enabling merchants to kind of have that multi-channel experience, just making it easy. But I completely agree. You know, it's interesting, like carriers, a lot of people don't realize this, is if you're not in the network, like they share their network. So you might buy a DHL label, and it's delivered either all the way or partially by USPS. Or you do have these like last mile delivery teams that are not actually employed by the carriers themselves. And that handoff, it has an effect on visibility into those shipments. And so we talk about this a lot. How can we enable these experiences where, or even provide opportunities for merchants to, you know, just create these better experiences, not through like the end consumer experience, but through the delivery experience of that package moving in transit.
And you know what's interesting too is that even in my neighborhood, I mean, and I'm sure everybody listening to has the exact same thought, is that like there's a lot of like white vans just driving around all the time, like nondescript. It's just like, this is weird. We're in really weird times, but it just shows you so many people. I'm sure the automotive, the truck kind of delivery van business must be booming too. And the leasing companies, because there's so many people that literally they just come like with, you know, an orange vest on and their mask on, and just this white van shows up and just put on your, you know, it's just like, what is going on here? Hey, thanks. So let's talk about some of the specifics, because I think I love digging into some of the numbers. So there's many, many brands on Shopify are using Malomo. Even brand, I have managed one brand right now. That's kind of the reason why we got connected with each other. When I talked to Danny, one of the brands that I managed, I said, hey, like, what's going on here with Malomo? What's this all about? And so he told me the whole story, and that's why we got introduced. So let's talk about some of, I guess, I don't want to say typical results, but like, what are you seeing that most brands are kind of, you know, that are implementing Malomo? Like what sort of KPIs and any kind of lift in, or I don't even know what metrics you're even tracking. I'd love to hear from your side.
So going back to kind of the original problem that we set out to solve, that the support, on average, a third of brand support tickets are just, where's my order? We do a lot of things at Malomo to reduce that. And merchants will see an average 50% plus reduction in their support volume because of that. We measure the repeat purchase rate, also really important metric for us. And this is more so if a consumer experiences the Malomo powered delivery experience, are they clicking through and making an additional purchase right from that experience? And so we see on average about a 2-3% repeat purchase rate, which is phenomenal. You think of, you know, high growth brands being able to scale, that repeat purchase rate, driving that up is crucial to your long-term growth trajectory. So that's an important metric that we track a lot. And then on average, we see about, this is a metric that I love. We track it on a per shipment basis. How much revenue does a merchant drive per shipment they track through Malomo? And that number is 97 cents. So you think a merchant that's shipping, you know, 10,000 orders, they're driving about 10 grand in repeat revenue each month.
So average revenue per shipment, because I know I've tracked, you know, average revenue per store visitor. And so I think that's an interesting metric, but you're doing average revenue per shipments. You're saying 97 cents, almost a dollar for every transaction in increased revenue because of a Malomo activated post-purchase experience.
That's exactly right.
Those are compelling numbers. I mean, you're making it sound like it's a no-brainer to, like, really, for those that are not or don't have a great post-purchase experience, and based on the show, you're learning that, wow, okay, this is quantifiable, like, to the C-suite, that, like, you know, we could, you know, on average, you're generating an extra dollar per order in increased revenue, LT. Like, that's amazing.
It's mind-blowing, honestly. Like, we didn't even expect these types of results. We kind of thought, well, we think the, like, really broad strokes assumptions, here's what we think is going to happen. And when we implemented it, like, brand after brand, it was just like, oh my gosh, there's just, like, earned money just sitting on the table. And if merchants can just activate this channel, like, they can unlock a flood of repeat revenue.
So let's talk about those entrepreneurs that are listening today. And I do have a very diverse range each week. I have some people that are haven't started. There's some people listening like that today. There's also people that do have product market fit. They're on Shopify, they're selling currently, but they're looking to kind of grow more and scale up. And then we also have a lot of people in the mid-market to some enterprise brands that are on Shopify Plus, you know, in the millions or more of revenue per year. And I know it can be challenging to kind of offer advice from what you see on your side. But, you know, if you were to, I guess, give some generalities of like what you believe success looks like, and what sort of advice would you give brands today that are, I guess, eager to grow and scale?
The biggest piece of advice I think I could give, like, no matter the size of the merchant, is I think you have to have a focus on retention from day one. If I was launching an e-commerce brand, probably one of my first five hires would be a retention manager. Whose sole focus is just figuring out ways to drive repeat revenue from their base. I think a lot of the tactics people use, it seems like they're unattainable. I think it's the small things. So it's things like just including a free sample of something in an order. And you don't have to do it with every customer. It can just be a random set of customers. It could be a handwritten note. It could be a personal email. And you can even automate that, a personal email from the founder with a thank you for your order. I think there's just a lot of small things, like low-hanging fruit. I don't know if this is the best analogy, but you're trying to date somebody. How do you court them, right? It's like surprising and delighting them in moments where they're not expecting it. And it's doing small things and big things. And so I think every merchant, you know, no matter their size, should, like, have that focus of, like, your customers are not just a transaction, they're real people. And what are some things that you can do to just make their experience better? And then I also, one other thing that I think is kind of unique is, like, how do you turn your brand into a utility, like a renewable resource of value for your customers? And it may not be like the actual product that you sell. It could just be like content. It could be, you know, online guides. It's like, how do you, like you think of the problem that your product solves, and then you think of all the tangential things around that problem. What are other things that you can deliver to your customers that helps them in their daily lives around that problem?
I love it. Kind of reminds me, I manage a brand called Tentree at tentree.com or tentree.ca in Canada. And that's one of their value props is, I think they plant 10 trees for every garment that they sell. And there really is a community behind the brand. There's millions and like tens of millions, I think 50 million some trees have been planted, and they really are making an impact, but they also are getting into the storytelling side of the actual people that they're actually impacting. So they're not, and I think they're a certified B corporation. So they really are not just profiteers making money in the garment business. They really have ethical manufacturing, and there's a social component and then an environmental component. So I think all of those pieces together, no wonder Tentree does so well. And I think there's lots of others, there's lots of others doing a very similar type of thing, giving back to the world. And I think it's great to be part of a mission driven, and I wrote some great notes here, and thank you for sharing a lot. This is amazing stuff. So let's talk about the future of Malomo. I mean, the platform, typical SaaS company, you have to, I'm going to say thrive on change, but you have to continue to iterate and improve based on customer feedback and just the demands of customers and just innovation in general. So are you able to share maybe how the platform is going to iterate over time, like moving into 21 now? Is there any partner alignment, any innovation? I guess I'm trying to get a warm and fuzzy about like how are you going to continue to offer value and assistance to Shopify for these brands that are really keen to improve their customer retention and then I guess these experience metrics?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Would love to share some of that stuff. So I think we think about this in two ways. We want to extend past the shipping experience and get into more areas of the customer journey. So we're hearing from merchants that they're having a lot of issues within their warehouses, and they want to be able to communicate what's going on pre-shipment to those customers. And it could be things like delays within the warehouse, or it could be purposeful, like they're doing custom stuff to an order and they just want to share updates around what's happening with that manufacturing process as it moves out the door. So we're looking at that. And then we're also looking at areas in which we can actually improve the buying experience. And so being able to, have consumers put in their locations or detect location and start to show delivery times in transit. And we think that can have a massive impact on conversion rates. And so trying to analyze a lot of the data that we've gathered from our carriers, we've tracked about 6 million shipments today, adding about 1 million shipments every month. And so that's a wealth of data that we can start to make predictions around delivery and help our merchants just better communicate during the buying experience about what's happening. The next big opportunity we see is, I think a lot of SaaS companies talk about this, but I think it holds true here is how do we kind of turn post-purchase into a platform? We're kind of integrated with a lot of tools within the post-purchase journey. So merchants can like create these seamless experiences. So you've got like product recommendation tools that people power on their tracking page. So like we allow people to use tools like Nosto or Just Uno, other product recommendation tools. We've got like survey tools where people can ask post-purchase questions about how they heard about you or get kind of more product intel. We see a lot of these tools that merchants are using pre-purchase can be used in a lot of really cool and unique ways post-purchase. We want to kind of build out a platform where brands can have kind of a automation layer where they can segment their customers based on behaviors that they're taking and then surface up the right experience to the right consumer at that right time.
Yeah. So my takeaway for that, I think, is the fact that you want to play nice with existing tech stack that a brand has. People can add on Malomo, but they're already going to have maybe some kind of personalization engine, if it's Nosto or whomever, not to mention some exit survey tools and there's a lot of things that people already have. And it's nice that you have thought about playing nice kind of in the Shopify ecosystem and non-competing verticals, but let's just enhance the overall experience of these other tools that they're already are finding value out of. So let's talk about, I guess, summing up today's show. I mean, if you're to see my book, my journal right now, I've written 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of notes. Like, it's just massively appreciated. Is there any way you could kind of sum up any kind of key messaging or any takeaways that you'd like to share those that are listening today?
First one is understand how you can use every touch point to create connection with your consumers. It can range from big things to small things, but I think every moment that your customer interacts with your brand is an opportunity to push your brand forward in a different way. So I you know, do wholesale look at touch points across your customer journey, buying and post-purchase. The second is that I think brands need to switch their mindset from being so acquisition driven to being having a balance of both acquisition and retention, and just making sure that they're focused on driving repeat revenue as a key goal within the business, and then building out the strategy around how you do that. Sometimes that means sacrificing a short-term order to drive a long-term meaningful relationship. And so I think there's just a need to kind of focus on both of those things. And then the last is almost a shameless plug for Malomo, but more so in general, you don't need to use Malomo to do this. It's just post-purchase is a huge opportunity that people are overlooking. The engagement rates that people have, especially during COVID, are just astronomical. And so there's just different ways that you can use that engagement to drive your brand forward. And I just encourage brands to think about what they're doing after somebody buys, just as much as they are thinking about it when somebody's going through that buying experience.
Love it. My takeaway too, and I wrote it down numerous times, was when you use the term moments of joy, I think it's a really good way of positioning what Malomo is all about. We really are to create moments of joy for the customers that are interacting with our brand, and then that builds community. I love it. I really think you're right on point for that. Let's dig into the last part, is how people can learn more about Malomo, the solution, maybe taking the platform for a spin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we work with merchants of all different shapes and sizes. Every e-commerce business, by definition, ships packages. And so, you know, everybody deals with this problem. And so, yeah, at Malomo, you know, we tend to work with merchants that, you know, they care about that customer experience. And we work with them to strategize about what's the right journey for your consumers. And so if you're interested in you know, taking Malomo for a spin, you can just head to gomalomo.com, G-O-M-A-L-O-M-O.com. And we're offering for e-commerce Fastlane listeners a nice kind of discount. So 30% off for your first 3 months with Malomo.
That's excellent. So I'll make sure I have that in the show notes. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Malomo, and that will redirect you to the landing page that Yaw has created. And yeah, I mean, this has really been a very impactful show for me. I know these are conversations that I have quite a bit with the brands that I manage. This episode, I believe, is really going to finally hit home for a lot of people that are in the retention space or even the C-suite space that say, listen, we can't just pay for new customers. They understand, you know, by adding on lots of different things, if it's like loyalty and rewards and different types of, you know, strategies and tactics. But overall, I think having your platform as part of an overall strategy of, as you're calling it, moments of joy, I think it's an honorable way of kind of earning a living by creating this platform. But I think the residual effect that you're creating for the brands that are connected, I mean, I have firsthand experience. As I said, I have a brand right now that's using your solution, and they massively love it. They're in it for the long haul, and they just want to keep iterating on it. So I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. You know, it's very clear based on this recording today that, you know, you're in tight alignment with Shopify, because their mission is to make commerce better for everyone. And I can tell both you and Malomo team, you definitely are in tight alignment also. You want to help brands improve efficiencies and growing revenue and lifetime value, loyalty, and definitely this post-purchase experience. I think it's super key. I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and your vision and just giving back the Shopify ecosystem.
Yeah. And Steve, thank you for all that you do. I know this podcast is a labor of love, and you add so much value and content to the community. So I thank you for putting this out, and I really appreciate you having me on to share our story. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, have yourself a great day.
You too. Thanks a ton.
Today's episode is brought to you by Grin, the all-in-one influencer relationship management platform. Grow an authentic direct-to-consumer brand on Shopify with the number one influencer marketing software solution for creating genuine, direct relationships with influencers. You can learn more about their incredible solution and get started today at grin.co. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.